This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. It's opening day, everybody. It's opening day. Andy's in mid-story.
Oh, so anyway, we're talking about Kansas City, and the one thing I was thinking about is the freeway that runs on the outside, which I think is 70. And so we were leaving. It was the rookie trip, and I was corrected already. He wasn't dressed as Supergirl. He was dressed as a USC cheerleader. It was Kyle Denny, the pitcher. And I remember leaving. So the media always left. We were on the first bus to get back to the airport. So we were on bus one, and then some of the players who got on later, they were on bus two. And I remember hearing on bus one, they were like, "Hey, somebody just got shot on bus two." And I was like, "What?" And we turned around, and what happened was there was like some random bullet that was, I have no idea what happened, but it pierced the bottom of the bus and went into Kyle Denny's leg. And the go-go boots that he was wearing, because he was dressed like a USC cheerleader, because it was like rookie hazing day, and so that they always had to get on the plane, they were always dressed in like Halloween costumes. Right. It was always funny. So, but the good thing is that because he was wearing that plastic boot, it sucked up all the energy from the bullet that had already come through the bottom of the tour bus, and it went into his leg. And they were able to kind of, the trainer was awesome at the time. He said he walked right over to it. He saw that there was a little bullet in his leg, and he just kind of boop, popped it right back out and got the bullet out of his leg. I don't know why, but every time I see that wide shot of Kansas City, whether it's a Chiefs game or it's a Royals game, I always think of the freeway by there, and I'll never forget Kyle Denny in that day. There you go. There's my story.
There it is.
I kind of cleaned it up. I could have told a little different, but that's all right.
Ball good. Players in USC cheerleader outfits getting shot. That's a good story, actually. We're going over opening day lineups. It's opening day. We're in the baseball spirit. We're in the baseball spirit. I picked some key years in franchise history. We go to 1995. Andy, why was that key?
Oh, are you kidding? Another World Series year.
There it was. Yeah. Actually, the first one since 1954. So it had been a while, correct?
Yes.
Correct. And they didn't even win it in 54 or in 95. But the Indians opened at the ballpark in Arlington. It was April 27th, 1995, and remember, delayed because of the, you know, the player work situation, right?
Right.
So it was all delayed, and they played, 144 games that season. The lineup, folks, near and dear to your heart, this is the crew that almost did it all. Leading off, Kenny Lofton, Omar Vizquel hit second, Carlos Baerga, Albert Bell cleanup, Eddie Murray, the DH, Jim Thome was at third base, followed by Manny Ramirez. Think about that. Those guys hitting 6th and 7th. Manny went 4 for 5 that day. Paul Sorrento was at first base. Tony Pena was the catcher. On the mound, Dennis Martinez, followed by Dennis Cook and Eric Plunk. And they beat up the Texas Rangers in a sign of things to come. 11-6 in 1995, when the Indians won 100 games and lost 44. Mm. There you go. I'm optimistic like crazy that this team has a starting shortstop in Brian Rocchio. Last year, he had some offensive issues for a while. His defense was really good all year long. Brian can play defense. He found himself in the playoffs, as we know. And my guess is he's going to be more like the playoff hitter than he was like the hitter he was for most of the regular season.
I'm a huge fan of that, Brian Rocchio. Huge fan of his. How awesome was that? How much fun was that during the playoffs last year?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, he was one of the better offensive players on the team in the postseason. Are you comfortable with him as your shortstop?
Yeah, I am right now. Why wouldn't I be? I mean, the bright lights were on at the end of the season last year. And, you know, he had over 300 in the playoffs. He had 333 in the playoffs last year, as a matter of fact. And, I mean,
when he came to the plate in the playoffs, he actually felt pretty good.
Because I remember during the regular season, I'm like, what's Rocchio going to do? And then, you know, you watch somebody and then you start to believe in them. And I think he believed in himself at the end there during the playoffs. So if you can give me postseason Brian Rocchio, I'm a fan. I'll be a fan for a long time.
I think if you get even close to postseason Brian Rocchio, you're going to be a fan for a long time. He's got a big-time glove. I am curious to see what happens without Andrés Giménez at second base. Because you put a guy like that next to any shortstop, and it's going to make the shortstop look good too, because that helps you, you know, turning double plays and everything else up the middle. Giménez is terrific. I think Gabe Arias is a pretty good defensive player as well. Now, he's not going to be Giménez at second base. Anybody who thinks that, I think go ahead and dismiss that notion, because Giménez is that good. But I think Arias can certainly play the position well, Andy. I don't see any issues there. Can he swing the bat as well as Giménez, which is why he's not here anymore, because he didn't swing it well enough to justify what was coming in that contract.
I don't know. I still feel second base is loose right now. We're not really going to know second base until a month into the season.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. It's why they play 162. You can have some mistakes along the way. Hopefully it's not a mistake. Hopefully they made the right decision. It gets cold really fast, though. When you leave Arizona and you start playing, I mean, even in Kansas City. I don't know. The weather's supposed to be pretty good in Kansas City today.
You'd mentioned that earlier.
Well, earlier this week I saw that. I'm just not sure what it's supposed to be today. The weekend looked pretty good there. Maybe rain on Saturday, I saw in the original forecast.
They'll figure it out, won't they?
Or I can figure it out for you in about 5 seconds.
Oh, good.
71 today.
Good.
High of 81, though. Winds 9 miles an hour, humidity at 41%. Mostly sunny right now.
Mostly sunny?
Mostly sunny.
In Kansas City?
In Kansas City, Mo. Not Kansas City, Kansas. Kansas City, Mo.
Kansas City, Mo.
Rain over the weekend, though. So they're off. They play today, 81. Off tomorrow, 75. And then Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is still supposed to be almost 80. And then Sunday, 52.
Oh, that's warm. How comfortable are you with Bo Naylor at catcher? I don't think this team needed to go out and add a catcher in the offseason. No. I don't. I think Bo more than deserves another year. I mean, they invested a first-round pick in the guy. And he did show some pop last year, which I appreciate. And he's shown a little pop since he's been in the majors. I just think now's the time to show that you can hit consistently. You tell me. 240? I mean, I'm not even setting the bar very high. If you can hit 240 and be pretty decent behind the plate.
You're asking him to raise his average almost 30 points, though, doing this. So.
Well, I know that. 40 points from last year.
Well, he hit 211. What are you asking for?
He hit 201 last year.
Oh, I'm saying career-wise, he's a 211.
Yeah.
Spring training, he was under 200. But, I mean, he had 51 at-bats. So
I think he can be a better hitter than what he's been. I don't think that this is a guy who is stuck at that level. That said, until you show that you're not stuck at that level, you're stuck at that level. You know?
Yeah.
So I do understand some of the concern people have. I'm really willing, in my mind, give him 400 at-bats this year. And Austin Hedges will play when Bo Naylor needs a day off. And though I like Austin Hedges defensively, you know, Austin can hit the ball out of the park once in a while, but Austin doesn't hit real well at this point in his career. And so I don't want to see anything that resembles a platoon. I want to see Bo Naylor as the starting catcher and getting a lot of games.
Yeah, I'm looking back at some of his minor league numbers, and I think you're right, Jeff. Like, I think 230, 240 should be, if he can hit somewhere around there.
That's not any great shakes.
No, but, I mean, traditionally, what his best season was, he was 18, he hit 274, but he was rookie league, and Arizona, it was only 33 games. So, he did hit 263 when he was splitting time between Lake County and Akron.
Oh,
in Columbus.
That's
and,
swell.
I'm sorry, between Columbus and Akron when he was 22. But he's got a couple years under his belt. I think this is an important year for him. Let's just put it that way.
I think he showed last year and even the year before, he's got some pop. It's a matter of contact for him. You know, if he can make better contact, then I think you're going to have something. Strikeout's a little bit of an issue, but again, at that position on this team, you have to be good defensively. I don't think he's as good as Austin Hedges defensively. I think he needs to continue to improve behind the plate. But if he can do that and he can pick up that batting average a little bit, Andy, I think you ought to be okay. 123 games played last year. If he can get to 130 this year, you know, certainly stay in that range if nothing else.
Yeah, it's how he looks at the season, how they approached it. What's the game plan with him? I think, you know, fans are rooting for him. There's no question about it.
Oh, of course.
I think he's a
seems really, like a nice kid.
Yeah, he's a well-liked player, especially when you're sitting outside the field. And I think people want him to have success. So,
and it's different for him this year. And I wonder
without his brother, right?
Yeah, I wonder if it's a good or a bad thing.
We're about to find out pretty quick. Yeah. I just feel like I think he thinks this is his time now.
And he understands without his brother being here. Everything I've heard about what happened there and everything else, the thought between the Naylor brothers has been, hey, this is the business of baseball.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like you traded my brother. I don't think you're going to have that issue. And in fact, is this fair? Maybe without Josh here, as great as it was for the brothers to play together from a family standpoint and everything else, maybe it gives Bo the opportunity to grow and become more of a force in the locker room and everything else because he's nobody's little brother anymore.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, I the stuff I've been hearing about, you know, coming out of spring training and stuff that you might have read, I think this is it's a big year for him, not only on the field, not only at the plate, but to step out and be a clubhouse guy, the guy that leads the clubhouse. And yeah, that's the guy you need to have. I mean, if your catcher
get
is
on
running
that way
the show,
anyway. Yeah.
Right? If your catcher's running the show, then you're in good shape.
I would agree with that. Chris is in Cleveland. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, fellas. Good to talk to you again.
And you.
Just a quick question. Do you guys think we'll see Travis Bazzano this year, and how you think he'll do?
Chris, thanks.
I'll say I want to see him this year.
I know you want to see him. I'm not holding out hope that you're going to see him this year. I think to see him this year, a couple of things will have to happen. He'll have to be on fire in the minors. I mean, if he's hitting, you know, just an ordinary batting average, ordinary on-base percentage, I don't think you're going to see him. He might get kicked up to AAA this year. I think that would be really good. If he could make it to AAA this year, 1 year out of college, he's probably starting in Double A Akron, right?
Yeah, I mean, but he's got 3 years of college. I mean, it's not like
I know Andy, but a lot of guys do. Though I would love to see him be one of those guys who can step in 1 year out of college and go for it. You've got a lot on the line here, and you have Gabe Arias and Juan Brito and Daniel Schneeman and Angel Martinez who can hold down second base. In this case, err on the side of not letting him get too overmatched. But if he's doing okay, Chris, I'd love to see him up here. I'd love to see him up here. I'm just going to be really patient on that. And Andy's rolling his eyes
at him. I'm just saying he's still – I mean, well, let's go back and look at the history of the Guardians Indians and their number one overall picks. Okay? Okay, now that's over. Here he is. We finally get to see this opportunity. I think it's going to be interesting.
It's Baskin and Phelps on the Fan.